20. We've only been going through the book of Acts since how long, preacher? 2004, 5, 6. We've only been going through, you know, we'll start, you know, we'll get going good, and then another study will come up, and we'll put it on the back burner, and then we'll pick it back up, and then we'll put it on the back burner again, amen. We've been going strong here for a while, so we praise God for that, amen. We did stop one time, went through a study on demons, remember that? Carlene was scared to death. She said, can we talk about something else besides demons, amen? And that was when they tried to, the sons of Sceva were trying to cast out the demon. And we took a pause and spent about, maybe 2-3 months just talking about demonology and what they do. And she said, look, that is a scary topic. And I said, but demons are real. They're just as real as angels. And so we need to discuss them because they thwart the plan of God oftentimes in our lives. We're not aware of it. And so that is a blessing. Turn to Acts chapter number 20. And we're going to cover maybe a verse or two again tonight, see what we can do, get you out of here before the rain comes up. If you're able to stand with me. Acts 20, verse 33 is what we're going to read. Acts 20 and verse 33. Acts 20 and verse 33. Of course, Paul here is giving his farewell address to the brethren at Ephesus, and he's rehearsing the details of his ministry to them and with them. And he is talking about some things here as he's about to conclude as to his testimony. And he had plenty to say. Acts 20 and verse 33. Read with me verse 33 and 34. We may get there or not. I'm not sure. Let's read 35 too, just to be on the safe side, but I doubt if we get that far. Here we go. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Father, bless the next moments that we have together. Bless your word. Strengthen us through the teaching and preaching of your word. Help us to leave here differently than we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable about the things of God and, Lord, directed into the plan and the purpose of God. We'll thank you and praise you what you've already done and what you continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Paul here is giving this address here, and in verse 33, he continues with his testimony that he had with them. Now, Brother Neil, I'm sure before you turned over the church there in Sierra Vista, you gave that one final message where you challenged the people and you gave them your thoughts as to what you wanted to see happen there in the ministry. I've seen preachers and heard preachers when they're about to turn over work, they do that oftentimes. Or if a missionary is about to come off the field or go to another location, he oftentimes will challenge those people. The last time I got a chance to preach over in Belgium, I did the same thing. They said, now you're leaving here. What encouragement can you give us? And you know what I gave him, preacher? Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I say, now you can do what you want to do. You can serve the gods on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. And I encourage them to do the same thing. Paul is doing the same thing here. He's about to leave the Ephesian elders, has given them a charge and a challenge as to his character, what he wanted them to do. And he's coming down here towards the end and speaking about his testimony, amen, much like Samuel did when Samuel said, hey, look, I haven't taken anything from you people, amen. I've just done the will of God. You come over here and Samuel or Paul is about to say the same thing. Notice what he says down here in verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. First question I have to ask is this. How many of us have ever been covetous before? All of us have been covetous. We've seen something and we want it. Amen. And so all of us have coveted. Paul here is on the mission field and he knows what it's like to want something. But he said, you know what? I haven't coveted anybody's gold. I haven't coveted anybody's silver. I haven't coveted anybody's apparel. By the way, when you look at this, Paul would say, hey, look, I have not done this. And he's about to speak on his testimony concerning wealth. He said, I was not covetous. This is the definition of covetous. It means to set the heart upon something, to long for something, to desire something, or to lust after something. What is so bad about coveting? Okay, you place that thing above everything else. Amen. What else is so bad about coveting? Andrea? Unappreciative of what you have. Amen. G? You get busy going after what you covet. Joshua? You want it so bad, you do anything to give it. Amen. Yeah, amen. It rolls. You get greedy. Amen. And you do. Yeah, Brother Neil?
You become discontented with what God has given.
Discontented, not satisfied. Yes?
Or it might cause you to do something to a person who takes it from you or harms whatever said item that it is.
This is very true. This is very true. And by the way, it is so important that God put it in the original Ten Commandments. Go over to Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. This is the 10th commandment. As he's going down there with thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And afterwards, he gives the 10 commandments and says, hey, look, this is what you ought to do. Exodus chapter number 20. notice you come down here. He says in verse number 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's a commandment. Verse number 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That's a commandment. He comes down there, verse number 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's a commandment. He comes down there, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. That's already 4. And then he comes down there in verse number 12, that's number 5, is honor thy father and thy mother. Number 6, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. 15, thou shalt not steal. 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. And then the 10th commandment, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Amen. So we go down and say, look, I'm not going to just stop at not covet. Get away from everything that your neighbor has. Keep your eyes on your own stuff, as Brother Neil and others. Be content with what you have. Amen. Paul is saying, hey, look, I was content with what I had. I didn't have a whole lot, but I was content with what I had. Amen. And it's kind of ironic that God goes down there and says, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your manservant, the maidservant, the ox, the ass. I mean, you can bring it up to modern day terms. I know we say, well, I wouldn't covet his ox because he doesn't have one. No, bring it up to modern terms. His money, his house, his vehicle. His television, whatever your neighbor has, bring it up today. Bring it modern. Whatever your neighbor has, you can find it in that verse some way, shape, fashion, or form. Amen. They've got a 6-digit job. Oh, I wish I was working at Intuit, or I wish I was working at Raytheon. Amen. Don't covet that. Amen. You might get out there and be disappointed at what you get. Amen. And so he says down here, I have not coveted. Amen. And so it's very important that we understand that you and I are prone to covet. We are. Now, brother, I don't know about you, but before I got this church, I used to look all around Tucson and covet other churches and say, look, that's a church. We should have it. They're not doing anything down there. I'm preaching the gospel over there. They should give us that church. I would covet and say, oh, look at that church. Oh, they got all those people over there. God, you should give me all those people. I couldn't even control the little boy I had today. What do I do with a big church like that? I had a bunch of boys like that. Amen. So I would covet and I'd say, oh, man, I wish I had that church. Oh, look at that building. Oh, they're not doing it. They give me that building. Preachers covet too. Paul said, hey, look, I'm not coveted your gold. I'm not coveted your silver. He says, I was not covetous. So Paul's testimony concerning wealth, he said, look, I could honestly stand before you and say that covetous was not in my testimony. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13. Is covetousness a bad thing? Yes, it's bad for preachers and it's bad for people. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 13. What does covetous reveal in me? I'm not satisfied. I'm not content. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 13. And by the way, if we're not careful, you and I, it's easy to fall into covetousness. It's easy to look at someone else. You know, G2 and Joshua looked at Mrs. White's nice convertible and said, Dad, why don't we get one? I said, why don't we pay for it? Amen. You pay for it. You can have it. Amen. Rodney Kirk came up with his nice charger. Why don't we have a charger? Why don't we pay for it? Amen. Hey, I know. I'm on the budget brand car. Amen. I got miles to feed. Mrs. White, they got their kids out the house. They can sit back, lap of luxury. Amen. Kick their feet up. Say, hey, amen. We should be doing that, but ours are still with us. Amen. All right, notice verse 13 down there. What is Paul saying to the church at Corinth? He said, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? So in other words, he said, if you work in a temple, eat of the temple. That's basic. And they which wait at the altar, partakers with the altar. He said, if you do the altar work, you get what comes off the altar. The priest always got a part of what was coming in. That was just the testimony there. He says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the what? The gospel. He said, look, if I'm a minister of righteousness, then I should get paid and I should eat from the church where I'm getting fed at. Amen. But notice what he says in 15. But I have used none of those things. Paul said, look, I didn't take any of that. He said, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. Now, he said, I'm not letting you know so you can feel sorry for me. He said, I don't want it. Notice what he goes on to say. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. He said, I'm not going to take away God's glory by saying that you took care of me. He says, God took care of me. My God shall supply all my needs. Amen. He said, I've told you that, and I'm telling myself that God is able to take care of me. Amen. And so when you come down here, Paul could honestly say that he was not covetous. And by the way, while we need money to survive, Paul states, I didn't covet after it. If I got it, praise God. If I didn't get it, praise God. I'm going to trust the Lord. Amen. Notice Paul's exhortation to Timothy as he was in Ephesus. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And by the way, Timothy came after Paul to stay in Ephesus. And when he wrote to Timothy, notice what he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And notice verse number 3, first of all, so you know exactly where he's at. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes this here. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at where? Ephesus. Who is Paul preaching to now in Acts chapter 20? The Ephesian elders. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, that when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, they teach no other doctrine. Now come all the way over to chapter number 6. As we know, he's talking to Timothy, and Timothy is at Ephesus. Paul's exhortation to Timothy as he was in Exodus and Ephesians. Amen. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's pick it up in verse number 6. But godliness with what? Contentment is what? Great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. So what's going on here? He's instructing young Timothy. He said, now, while you're at Ephesus, let me tell you something. My character and my life was never about the wealth. It was never about the money. He said, I won't tell you that. He says, so Timothy, I'm writing to you to tell you the same thing that I told them. It's not about the wealth. Don't covet their wealth, amen, because there's going to be a time when they may not give you any. Amen. And if they don't give you any, you know what you're going to do? I'm through with y'all. Give me another ministry. Brother, you know preachers like that. They don't pay. They look, I'm gone. You can't afford me. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Hey, wait a minute. We're not supposed to be about the wealth. It should be about the Christ that we preach and teach. And my God shall supply all my needs. It's not about the money. But you find preacher, well, you know, how much money are you going to give me before I come over there? Well, I thought this was supposed to be of God. Amen. Now, I'm not knocking. I know you got to live. I know you need a salary. I understand that completely. But I'm saying it shouldn't be about the money. And Paul's saying, hey, look, as I was with you, it wasn't that way. And Timothy, it shouldn't be that way about you. And I'm going to show you why in a minute here. Notice verse number 7. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be what? Content. But they that will be rich, you say, oh, preacher, hey, there you go. I'm not rich. We're not talking about rich. By the way, to a lot of people around the world, Americans are rich. Some of the poorest of Americans are rich compared to some people in some other nations. Amen. When I went down to St. Vincent and the Grenadines to preach there, I told you all about that. Those folks had washed their dishes in the alley. They had no window screens. It was just an open area there where every element that could come in came in. They had the outdoor plumbing and all those things there. And brother, I was there. And I thought, glory, why am I here? Amen. This is not good. I got bit by so many mosquitoes, brother. I feel like a pincushion. Amen. I thought, this is not good. Everything that had a stinger bit me, I think. Amen. And I don't think anybody else in the house itched except me. I think it had new blood. And we got everybody else's blood. Amen. And I felt sorry for them. But you know what? They didn't feel sorry for themselves. They didn't know anything about air conditioning. They didn't know anything about having a sink and stuff in the house. They didn't know anything about windows being covered. And they had hurricanes there. They had boards to board the windows up. And I guess when you have hurricanes, it breaks out. Amen. And I was humbled that I was not content. God said, you're not content, son. You're not content. Paul said, hey, look, they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Why? Verse 10. Read it with me. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, let me show you the danger of this. I'll give you a couple definitions here. Coveted after means to stretch out after. Now, here's the danger with that. Joshua. Got some candy. But you got to come get it. Starburst. Your favorite. Now, he knows he wants it. He knows he wants it. What is that? That is the lust there. That is the desire, amen. Hey, which while some coveted after, it means to reach, to stretch out after. When I covet after something and it is here, it is not going to go over there. So where does he have to go to come and get this? He has to come to me. Do you want it? But at what cost? It's not a trick. It's not a trick. It's an illustration. Faith, you want it? Come get it. Derek, you want it? Now, he thought I had a mouse trap under there or something. Amen. Now, I just wanted to make a point here. Oh, look at that. Amen. He gonna share generosity. Generosity. Now, here's my point. Notice what the Bible says. Which while some coveted after. Now, if this happens to be money, and if I covet after the money is not going to come to me. I've got to go to it. I have to leave from where I am. And if I'm in the will of God, what happens when I leave? I'm out of the will of God. I've got, while some coveted after, I stretch out. Some say, yeah, I can't reach it. I'll leave my wife. I'll leave my husband. I'll leave my job. I'll leave my church. I'll leave off Bible reading, which while some coveted after. If I want it bad enough, I got to leave something to get it. That's why he says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they reach out, they stretch out after it. What happens when they stretch out or reach out after it? They have erred from the faith. Interesting word, erred. Erred means to be seduced or led astray. I've been seduced or led astray. What do strangers, what did strangers used to offer kids? Candy. Now they offer them iPhones and cell pads and stuff like that. Amen. But back in the days, it was candy. Hey, kid, I got some candy. It might still work on Joshua. Amen. But now it's, I got a cell phone for you. Hey, I've got a gift card for you to the restaurant. I've got a Visa card for you. Amen. Hey, I've got this. I got that. He says, if you covet after, and Paul is saying, hey, look, I've never coveted after your gold, your silver. I'm not being led astray. I'm not going to go off on the deep end. Hey, folks, we have got to put that in our minds to say, look, I've got to be content or I will be led astray. Because the devil does not play fair, never has, never will. He will get you at your heart's desire. Whatever your heart desires, he will put it over there. And he said, do you want it? Come and get it. I don't care what it is. A pair of shoes, a ring, a job, a basketball, some KDs, Josh G2, some Kevin Durant shoes, amen. I'll put it over there. And you've got to come here and you've got to get out of the will of God to get it. Amen. And so Paul says here, hey, look, Timothy, I'm warning you. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and the many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, stretch out after, they have erred from the faith, they've been seduced, they've been led astray. And what's the rest? Pierce themselves through. Somebody didn't pierce them. They pierced themselves through. Why? The closer I get to this, they don't realize there's a sword sticking right out like this. And you got to fall on the sword to get that. And you kill your Christian testimony. You kill your Christian integrity. You kill some things in your life. Young people have killed their purity trying to come over here and get close to this young man or that young girl. They have killed their God's will for their life. They've fallen on this. They pierced themselves trying to get at that thing. And there's a dagger sticking out like that. And they come right after it and guess what they get? A dagger. Whether it's going after somebody you know you ought not be with, or whether it's going after a job you know you ought not have, or a car that you ought not have, or a house you ought not have, or a suit you ought, whatever it is, I pierce myself. The devil's just sitting over here and saying, here we go. You want it? Come get it. That's like going fishing. You go fish, guess what? You put a nice little worm on that hook, throw it out there, and what does the worm see? They see bait. Now, I have tried to fish with an empty hook. You know what I caught? No. I have never caught anything with an empty hook. Brother, have you ever caught anything with an empty hook? A rock. Seaweed, amen. Seaweed. You can throw that thing out there all day long, man, and you'll bring that thing back every time empty. But you put you some bait on there and throw that thing out there, whop, nice bass will take that thing down. Nice catfish will take that thing down. For those of you who are not Jewish, amen. Hey, it'll take that bait quicker. You can shake your stick, unaware that underneath of the bait is a hook. And I got me a nice catfish dinner. I'm not Jewish. Amen. So what am I saying here? Paul said covetousness can destroy his testimony because he could be so busy stretching out after financial wealth or gain or their silver or their gold that he could not do the will of God and he could be led astray. He could pierce himself through with many sorrows. He says, Timothy, I'm warning you. When I was down at Ephesus, I told them the same thing. Timothy, I'm telling you the same thing. Don't get caught up with wealth. Is it okay to have some money? Yes, it is. But when I've got to go out of the will of God, it is not okay. And so whatever it is going to take me out of the will of God, I've got to be careful with that, amen, because we can be so busy stretching out or reaching out for more that we can get led astray off the path. Joshua was afraid to death to come off there until he saw somebody else going for the bait. And normally that's how it goes. Well, I'll sit back here. Let me see if somebody else is going to go for it. And if they go for it, it must be okay. They're going, okay, this must be okay to do. Hey, come on now. Y'all know we're like that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We see one sheep going to graze. There we go. Bah, bah, bah. Must be good. Bah, bah. Must be good water. Bah, bah.
Right over a cliff.
Exactly. So what was Paul's remedy? Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Go over there with me real quick. Philippians chapter 4. What am I saying? Paul said, you know what? Covetousness is not in my repertoire at all. Neither should it be in anybody else's. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 11. And notice what Paul says there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, for I have learned speak in respect of want. For I have learned practical, and whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? content. What do you know, Paul? Verse 12. I know both how to be abased. He said, I know how to have a little bit and I know how to abound, have a lot of it. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be what? Full, have a good belly, and to be hungry. I need to lose a pound or two. Amen. Both to abound and to suffer need. What does Paul say? Verse 13. We learned in Sunday school. I can do how many things? All things through Christ. He said, this is in the will of God for me. And so I know I can do this. It's okay for me not to have some gold. It's okay for me not to have some silver. I can do all things. I can have some full bellies and I can have some little bellies. Amen. And so Paul's remedy then is contentment. Contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Hebrews 13, 5. Let's go over there real quick. A couple more verses and then we're going to be done. Hebrews 13. And notice the encouragement that's given in Hebrews. Hebrews 13. And I believe that the writer is Paul. I cannot prove that, but I believe that it is. Hebrews 13, 5 says, let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. In other words, let your lifestyle be one of contentment and not one of reaching out for something else, trying to get something else. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Don't want what you see all the time. By the way, do we see a lot of stuff? Yeah. Television is designed to make you want. I mean, you salivate, amen. You see the barbecue grill up there with the steaks, amen. And you see all the stuff on there. You see the sodas, you see the chips, you see the pizza, the hot dog, the hamburger, you see the clothes, you see the cars. You see it all. And guess what? We say, I got to have that. Brother, some of the biggest things, the little cereal will come out on TV. Mom, can we have that? It's got a toy in it. Mom said, don't you have toys at home? Not that toy. And what do I want? I want that cereal. You know what? I am covetous. I'm covetous. You know what? I'm not content. I got cornflakes up in the pantry up there, but it ain't got no sugar, Joshua. So I want sugar cereal. And it's not so much about the cereal. I want the toy. So guess what we used to do as kids? We'd empty that box half out to get that toy and wouldn't eat the cereal. Put the cereal back in there just to get the toy, because the rule in our house was whosoever bowl it fell out in got the toy. And so if you got the first, you knew it wasn't the first bowl, and you knew chances are it wasn't the second bowl, and it was three of us. So I say, all right, since I'm the youngest, y'all go first. Then I get a big soup bowl. Guess what? I got the prize. No fair, you got a mixing bowl for your cereal. Well, I'm a mixing bowl sized body here, you know. Hey. Paul said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Notice this, for he has said, this is Jesus, I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. I don't need to be covetous. Why? God's not going to leave me, and God's not going to forsake me. What did he say down there? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. God is not going to let you down. Notice verse 6, so that we may boldly say, not meekly say, but boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do to me. He said, look, I don't have to worry about it. My God's going to supply my need. I can do all things through Christ. I'm not going to be covetousness. I'm going to be content with what I have. Why? He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. Hallelujah and praise God. Last scripture area, we'll close. Go over to 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. And I want you to notice Paul's testimony to the Corinthian church as it was to every church. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. And, of course, 2 Corinthians, he's writing back to the church and is kind of trying to defend himself over several things that has happened. And notice what he says here in verse 13. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Question mark. Forgive me this wrong. Paul said, I didn't charge you anything. I went down on my own and I worked on my own. He said, forgive me this wrong if that's what you're thinking. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek, notice this, not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul said, you know what? I am not trying to take something from you. I am trying to give you something. And he says, seem like the more I love you, the less I'm loved. He said, but I'm not trying to take advantage of you. I'm in this for God. I'm in this for Christ. I'm in this because I love my Lord, and he's going to take care of me. He said, this is not about me trying to take yours or what you have. He said, it's about you. It's about you. I'm so glad that Paul was a man that had a testimony and a character that he could say, hey, look, I was not covetous when it came to wealth. He's going to talk about his wear here next week and going to talk about some other things. But when it comes to being covetous, he says, you know what? Concerning wealth, I was not covetous. The silver I didn't want, the gold didn't want. He said, could I have asked for it? Yeah, I could. He said, but I know this. If I get so ate up with wanting, one day I'm going to pierce myself through trying to go out and get more. And I'm going to want more money. And Paul said, it's not about that. If you pay me, praise God. If you don't pay me, praise God. My God shall supply all my need. What a man. What a testimony. But you know what? All of us ought to have that testimony. Let's be content with what we have. Why? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And when we get the point where we're covetous, we're going to leave God's will to go and get something that may not be meant for us. And it may get us in trouble. For they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Amen. Folks, as we leave here tonight, you know, we're going to go out. We're going to see commercials on the television. We're going to see ads. We're going to see billboards. We're going to see people with stuff. We're going to see our neighbors with stuff. We're going to see our friends with stuff. They're going to have expensive clothes. They're going to have all these things. And our goal is to be content with what we have. If God wanted us to have it, guess what? He gave it to us. He gave it to us. My mother used to always tell me that. Mom, we missed that sale or we didn't get this. My mother would say, boy, if it was meant for you, you'd have it. If it was meant for you, you'd have it. And I say, well, it was meant for me. You just didn't take me over there. You messed up my mentor. It was meant for me. Now they have it. Amen. Mom said, that's one penny you have saved. Amen. I'm not trying to save, I'm trying to spend. Amen. Praise God for moms. Amen. Amen. Folks, as we leave here today, let's take that thought with us. Amen. Paul said, hey, I have coveted no man's gold or silver. Let's not be covetous. Amen. Let's be content. Is it difficult in the world in which we live when we look around us? It is. But God is the one that we're looking to. And that's who Paul kept his eyes on the whole time. He said, look, I'm looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. He's my author. He's my finisher. He's going to supply all my needs. He said, I'm not looking at yours. I'm looking at you. And I'm going to do what it takes to give you the gospel. And Paul always preached the gospel for free. If they gave him money, he said, praise God. Paul went out and did his business. Amen. We'll talk about several other things about his character. But concerning wealth, let Paul's testimony be our testimony. Don't covet. Is it okay to want some things? It is. Just don't let it come into desire where you've got to leave God's will to go get it. Be content with what you have. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for Paul's testimony before us. Lord, thank you that we can go to the Word of God and see a real person going through real covetous struggles. And Lord, we know that Paul had talked about how he had coveted in the past and how he had to get the victory over that. And Lord, when you came and saved him, he was able to get the victory. If we're saved here today, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to claim the promise that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Help us to claim the promise that they that will be rich fall into temptation and in a snare, and we don't want to fall into that. Help us, Lord, to realize godliness with contentment is truly great gain. And Lord, help us to do our debt level best to guard ourselves from covetousness by invoking the Word of God, applying it to our lives, and living a Christ-filled life. Lord, we thank you and love you for bringing us here tonight. Thank you for our study. Lord, as we look more at Paul's life in the week coming, help us to be very, very mindful of covetousness because it can creep into our lives, and it is one of the Ten Commandments listed in Scripture. We ought not covet anything that our neighbor has. And Lord, we can only do that if we're content with what we have. Thank you so much for what you've given us. Help us to make much of your blessings in our lives. And Lord, to minimize what you're doing in someone else's life that we don't have. We'll thank you and praise you, Lord. Work in our hearts. If someone's not saved tonight, Lord, I pray that you would express to them their need to be born again, and you would save them before it's everlasting too late. Dismiss us with your blessings, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we dismiss, Pastor White's going to come and give us our announcement.